Welcome, everybody. This is Winfrey, and our conference line check-in is still open. You can hear the people checking in. And
hello, this is
Mark Allen.
Is that Terry?
Hi, this is Terry.
Yes. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
We're live on the air.
Hello, Win.
All right. Yes.
This is Mark Allen.
Hi, Mark Allen.
Hi,
Win. Where are you, Mark Allen?
I'm in Gilbert, Illinois.
Illinois.
Yeah, I just sent you a letter, too.
All right.
Jose, Venice Beach, California.
So we have people all over the place checking in, and I'm going to mute you guys for, well, actually, before I mute you, we're on the air, so we have a bunch of people listening to us on the Internet. Why don't you all say hello to everybody on the Internet before I mute you?
Hi, everyone on the Internet.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
How are you?
Hello.
Hello there.
Okay.
Hello.
All right.
Callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Let me get rid of that ding thing.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Okay. Is Terry, are you still there? Hello, Terry.
I'm here.
Is Daphne there?
I am.
What? Daphne? Daphne, are you on the line? Hello, Daphne.
Yes, this is Daphne in Meadow of Dam, Virginia.
Okay, and Carla, you're on the line.
I am.
All right. This call is dedicated to Carla, and Terry and Daphne are just in the background, and I might ask them a question during the course of it, but Did I do this?
Entry chimes are off. Exit chimes are on.
Hang on.
Entry chimes are on. Exit chimes are off.
You're all muted, man.
Entry and exit chimes are on. Entry and exit chimes are off.
Okay. Now we have a quiet line. And I announced earlier today that Carla is going to be my guest tonight, and Carla and I have known each other probably ever since I first met Daphne when I was starting to write the book about David Wilcock. I was studying Carla's channelings, and David was referring to her work in all of his material, and he still refers to her work. And I actually drove to Laughlin, Nevada to meet her, and she had a little table there, and I offered to man her table, and she said I was the best salesperson for her raw books that she had ever seen. Now, actually, I think when I met you, Carla, I don't think I had met Daphne. I think that was just before that. Is that right?
I believe so.
Do
you hear that echo?
No, I don't hear an echo. Everything sounds clear. So I wanted to read to you. By the way, I want to thank everybody who's been sending me emails. And so many of you are having such amazing experiences on our lines. And it kind of blows me away. But one of the things I want to say is that when you first expose yourself to this material, it's a beginning. This is a huge door you're opening. And your life, if you stick with it, your life will change. But it takes sticking with it. It opens up energies and possibilities. But all of us, everyone here, comes to the table with a huge tract of what you could call your past karma, your past habits. And usually those have been developed over many, 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 many lifetimes. So when you suddenly get exposed to all this amazing stuff and you open to it, it also opens up. Now, some people don't have this. God bless them. Some people don't have this experience. I did. Carla did. Daphne did. I don't think Terry did. She was already busy processing her stuff, so it didn't change. But opening up to these energies can open up to surfacing things, because the key here is cleaning yourself out of the old patterns, and you have to do it. The Rod Roop doesn't do it. The Elohim doesn't do it. They give help. They give guidance. They give wisdom. But ultimately, it has to come from your intention. And it takes a lot of intention to clear things. And so I'm just saying that. And Carla can share some of the things that she went through when it started for her. Carla, do you want me to give an intro to you, or would you like to tell people about yourself? Be my guest? Okay. So Carla was interested in channeling, and she met this person named Don Elkins, who was a PhD, and I believe he was a professor at a university, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't channeling I was interested in, it was silent meditation.
Yeah, it started out with silent meditation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And somehow or another, in these silent meditations, people suddenly had voices in their heads, and PhD Professor Don, I guess, got pretty fascinated with it. And so there were these communications taking place between discarnate entities and some fairly high beings. But as far as I can tell, they were individuated beings. So Don would ask questions. Carla, I don't think she usually went into a trance. She was semi-conscious. Well,
right.
These voices were coming through her. And then at one point, Don asked a very deep question. And the way I understand it, Carla went out. She just went into a trance, lost consciousness with the physical, and this voice came through Carla that identified itself, I am Ra. And for the next 3.5 years or so, Don Elkins would be interviewing Ra, asking questions. Who are you? Where do you come from? How do things work? And Don was very smart, and he was getting a huge, amazing information that has never, ever, ever in the history of mankind been delivered into this realm about how things work. And her stuff is deep, particularly her raw material. It's like not fast reading. I looked up on Amazon here, and there's a book called, she has 4 books out. One of them, her first book, was called The Raw Material. And I hate the title because I think the publisher came up with it. And An Ancient Astronaut Speaks. And I don't think Ra is really an ancient astronaut. Ra is a group soul, social memory complex. Those of you that have been listening to me talk know that I've described it. It's a group soul that has gone through thousands of lifetimes, maybe millions of years of evolution, graduated this realm, continued to evolve in other realms, and at a certain point came together. And it's very hard to understand this in your mind, so don't think you can. I don't think I can. You can only get their words and try to put it together intuitively. But they came together in another dimension, in a higher dimension, and they act as a, this is my way of looking at it, as a helper and a guide for planets at lower levels of evolution. And historically, they have been responsible for many positive events in the history of mankind. And they're not always called Ra. They don't care what they're called, but they've talked to other people in history. And in the Ruckert material, in Carla's material, there was indications that they were talking to a former lifetime of David Wilcock Edgar Cayce in Egypt, 10,000 B.C. And they told the story a little bit of, in Carla's material, of that lifetime. So I wanted to read to you a testimonial that's on Amazon for Carla's, this is for her first book. And this is, who is this from? Doesn't matter who it's from. Somebody was moved and got really excited when they read her book. There is a lot of channeled material out there, some good and some not so good. I think it is important to use discernment when reading channeled material, just as it is important to use discernment when reading anything or when listening to a preacher talk. Ultimately, the truth is inside of us.
What if someone said...
Wait a second. Let me just check here. I want to make sure I'm muted properly. Okay. That must have been a leak through from BBS. Okay. Ultimately, the truth is inside of us, but we don't know it. So it helps to have it confirmed by outside sources. Sometimes we come across something that has that ring of truth in it, and we know it is appropriate for us at that point of time in our lives. Not necessarily appropriate for everyone at all times, or even for ourselves at all times, but appropriate in the now for where we are right now. Thus, I have encountered many books and other sources of info that have all had varying degrees of what I consider truth, but no one of them being the truth. He says, I have long ago dismissed the Bible as the truth, but consider it to have some truth in it, while most of it has been distorted. The Law of One books are the closest I have found to being the truth. Many of the channeled works out there are cheesy, or they come across as too authoritative, at such and such, and this year will happen, and that's the way it is. Ra, on the other hand, does not claim to be an authority. Rather, this entity repeatedly tells us to please use discernment and accept only that which resonates as truth within ourselves, then proceeds to give into that totality that rocks your socks off. This stuff is deep. It's very deep. I have never read anything else, channeled or not, that even comes close to such high caliber. It is just completely obvious to me that the info is coming from a higher being, because there's no way anyone could have made this up. Okay, maybe someone could have, but this info came through a woman in a trance, and she didn't even know what she was saying until she woke up. Even very specific details are consistent throughout the text over the course of several years of channeling. And the material describes a cosmology that was way ahead of its time. Certain aspects of quantum physics, for example, described in the books, had not yet been discovered. So no one could have made this up. When you read the material, you get a very strong sense of higher knowledge. It's just really obvious that this is not coming from a human source, the way most channeled material seems to be. I had a lot of aha moments while reading it. In fact, pretty much every sentence. But my purpose is not to try to convince you. before the skeptics start, let me say, I'm not trying to prove that this channeled work is authentic. If you are searching for absolute proof, then clearly this book or any channeled work is not for you. Better to stay in an organized religion and do as they tell you. However, if you are a serious seeker who is not afraid to think for yourself, then I highly recommend you give these books a try. Prepare to have your mind open. If you're still with me, then maybe you'd like to know what the books are about. Okay, for starters, the nature of life, the universe, how the pyramids were built, who the aliens are, the chakras, other dimensions, the important elements of a spiritual path, the nature of sexuality, and lots of other interesting topics. But that is not what makes the book stand out. Other books have tried to address these topics as well. What makes the law of one stand out is the explanation of good versus evil. If you find the idea of a good God being in constant war with the evil Satan oversimplistic, or if you believe that God is all-powerful and beyond good and evil, or if you have a hard time believing that God will lose most of the world's population to the devil, and you are searching for a more intelligent explanation of why there is evil in the world, these books might be for you. Or if you're tired of all the doom and gloom prophecies and would like to rekindle hope, then these books might be for you. Be forewarned, these books are not light and fluffy, and whatever you believe, they will challenge you, but they will also inspire you and give comfort. Introducing Carla Ruckert. I am honored to have her. I'm honored that she's chosen to trust the work we do and to show up on our show, our Monday night show, once a month, and we talk about everything, and sometimes we're just really down home. But tonight, I know we're having a lot of new people, and they're being introduced to the idea of channeling for the first time through my work. They're being introduced to this new way of looking at the universe, and I wanted to take this opportunity to make sure that you knew who Carla Ruckert was. And Carla, now that I've given her that big intro, she's saying, what am I going to do now? Carla, what would you like to say?
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be asked to be on the show, and I tickled to death to be with Daphne and Heather and with Terry, and hey to you. Love to everybody and love to those outside. It's a wonderful thing that we can meet in the ethers. Okay, let's see. I think you probably want me to start with just the story. And you did pretty well at that. I was a 19-year-old when I heard that epic-making professor at Speed Scientific School, where I was a librarian, or assistant to the librarian, was teaching. Everybody held him in total awe. He was a brilliant guy. And since the mid-50s, he had been studying the paranormal. Anything that took you outside the realm of normal life, because it was obvious to him, if not to anybody else, that science as it was did not explain the deeper questions. People learned to work with things like gravity and light, but they did not know what they were. They learned to call energy that, but they did not know what it was. There came a point at which science failed, and Don was always trying to get beyond that point. He traveled a lot in his little airplane. He knew how to fly, and he was a charter pilot on the side when he was a professor at U of L, University of Louisville. Better known for his basketball, I will admit, but there is an excellent engineering school there, and Don was teaching there. Don ran across the material that suggested that if you meditated silently together in a group, that eventually you would begin picking up the messages that were coming in, because there were messages that were just waiting for somebody to ask them to come in order for that to start the flow of that energy. And the that energy would turn itself into the words that were the equal of the energy between the two, the otherworldly entity or extraterrestrial entity and the person trying to pick up that message. So it was a long time before anybody actually got any messages, and meanwhile I was happily meditating silently, and it was a great group. I really enjoyed it. But then,
how many years were you studying silently before?
12, actually.
I did not want to
be a channel. I loved the silent meditation. I was very mystical. And I love to listen to the messages, but I didn't have any desire to be a channel. So that's what I did until 1974. Of course, by that time I was quite a bit older. A lot had happened to me, and I was pretty well settled working for Don at the time and partners with him. We had written a book together, and we were in the process of writing another book. So we were partners in that. And I always considered it a great joy that he pried me away from librarianship, and I did research with him. I read everything that there was to read. He didn't much like to read. And then I would report to him the things that I found the most interesting in the books, and then he would remember those few things, and when he was talking in speeches, he had those quick sound bites to offer people. That's the way he did his research. But things changed a little bit when I finally agreed that, yes, his experiment was about to end with the extraterrestrial voices, because the last engineer that had learned channeling was leaving town and getting another job, which is pretty typical of people these days. They move around, and of course engineers go everywhere these days. So, gone. And Don was really wanting to keep this up, so I agreed to try. Not at all wanting to do it, but, well, by golly, it took me about 2 months, and I finally caught on. And once I caught on, I immediately became very interested in why some sessions were better than others. And I tried for years to pin that down as I was working, and I figured out several things that would make a channeling session go down the tubes, and so I never was interested in letting people ask fear-based questions. If you're in fear, the energy that you're putting out is going to pull in a much lower vibration than if you don't have any fear. So I wouldn't take questions that were like that, and I wouldn't take specific prophecy questions, because those were usually fear-based, or at least certainly not positive. So I found that if I eliminated those two things from the questions, and then I worked on myself so that I was at my own highest tuning when I would go into meditation, that made the sessions better. So I continued doing that, and after I'd been working on that for about 8 years, I think. Yeah, no, 6 years. 6 years. I was 74, and then just in the January of 81, I began channeling the Raw Group. I had always channeled consciously, and then, as Wynn says, that first time was channeling those of Ra, I was able to challenge those of Ra in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. And the Ra group was able to answer that quite quickly and gladly. And, oh, yes, of course. And they were very enthusiastic about responding to that challenge. And when you get that kind of response, it's going to be a good, you know, I knew that it was going to be a good session. What I didn't know is just how good it was going to be. It was the best channeling that I've ever done, no question about it. But I was only capable of it because my now husband, Jim McCarty, had just joined the group, and he was putting a lot of physical energy into the group as well as spiritual energy. And really, you know, he powered the raw contact. So, you know, when people say, oh, it's wonderful how Carla channeled that, well, you know, I channeled the group's effort. And Jim, sweating through those sessions and sending me love, really, really did more than his part. But at any rate, there's no question about it. The raw material is a classic, has become a classic, and it's a wonderful thing that people are more and more able to know about it. We have it for free. You know, you can read it on our
your website.
Website, and it's www.llresearch.org. Or you can pick up the books. Sometimes people like the books better. I certainly do. And read them that way. But the whole idea of the raw material, the raw is coming to talk to us about love, about how love comes to us in a pure and unadulterated fashion, and how our friends can turn that love into all kinds of different ways, but that we can learn to lessen that distortion and to become more and more like the love vibration that is that created all that there is. Well, it sounds very simplistic, and actually it is. It's too simple for most people. They want to get, you know, their teeth into something logical. And since Don was a scientist, there's a tremendously strong logical leaning to the book. And even technical questions and stuff that I know nothing about, so I have no idea how in the world Rob picked that stuff up out of my mind, but they did. Anyway, it backs up everything that it offers with an explanation that is internally consistent, as Wynn said. And I've read a lot of philosophy in my time. This beats the internal consistency of any philosophical body of writing that I've ever seen. I'm a pretty good critic, and I generally can tear apart most philosophical attempts because there are always holes left somewhere. You just have to find them and say, well, look, it doesn't talk about this. Not the raw material, not the Confederation material in general, and I've channeled the Confederation material from the very beginning. It's just that the raw group is a higher velocity, I guess you'd say, group than I ever channeled before or since. Now, I do channel, in a way, I channel the raw group now because the Kuo group includes the raw group, but there are several other entities that are with the raw group to make the Kuo principle that sort of step down that energy to where I can work with it and still be conscious. So I'm just a little sincere older lady that has watched a wonderful blossoming of people that love this material and want people to know about this material, and I get every day we get letters from people that feel that that material has changed their lives, has moved them in the right direction, is what they need for now, and I'm so thrilled at that, because in and of myself I'm not a particularly interesting person, you know, just this cat that's living in Louisville, Kentucky, and likes jazz and romance novels, and I like, you know, to cook and garden. I mean, there's just nothing jazzy about me, but the law of one material is certainly all of those things that I'm not. So I'm so tickled, Wynn, that you've given me a chance to just blather on here about things. Would you like to come in and direct the discussion?
Well, I thought a couple of things that would be good to talk about is, you know, it's interesting that you go to still go to church. Well, you know, I want to say that Carla has not been well. She had an operation, and she's still been recovering from it. It had complications. And you hear the shakiness in her voice, probably. And it's probably because she's still under the weather, and she's still here with us. And I wanted to, I was going to say that you go to church every Sunday.
I do indeed. When I'm well, I go every time they open the doors.
Right. That's why, I was one of the, you probably haven't gone for a few months. But, you know, it's interesting that they choose people to talk through who tend to be Christians. For example, Edgar Cayce was a fundamentalist Christian. You go to church every Sunday. Daphne has identified as being a Catholic, a mystical Catholic. She used to go volunteer at the local nunnery when she was living in Silicon Valley. And Terry, I think, used to teach Sunday school, okay? Now, many traditional Christians, when they hear about this kind of thing you're doing and we're doing, they immediately come and say, that's of the devil. They just immediately. I thought I would ask you how you reconciled the Christian religious part of you with the channeling part of you.
Well, in my younger days, when I was much more intense than I am now about studying the catechism, the prayer book, and all of the things that make the body of work that makes you a Christian and makes you think a certain way in certain situations, I ran into the fact that I didn't believe any of it. I didn't see the point of it, and I was at summer camp. And being a total idiot and not particularly like anybody else at the camp, I was the only one that showed up for the nightly sessions with the bishop, who was holding an inquirer's class. You could come and ask him anything you wanted. So I came in and I said, Bishop, I think maybe I'm not a Christian because I just don't buy the virgin birth. And he nodded and he said, I've had a lot of trouble with that one myself. And I said, well, how do you say the creed? He said, in faith. He said, in faith that one day, probably not during this incarnation, I will understand all this stuff. So I haven't a clue. I just say it in faith. And then he said, now don't ever leave the church because you'll have no one to talk to about Jesus if you do. And I have found that to be true. I have found it rewarding and endearing and heart-opening to be the member of the choir and the person that listens to the preaching and just all the comfortable words of the Bible, whether I, you know, believe them intellectually or not, they are comforting. So I think that the problem that people have with something like the Bra Group is not connected with the outer trappery of religion. If you stick to the things that you're supposed to believe, especially in the more fundamentalist churches, who say it's true that the world was created 6,000 years ago, that kind of leap of faith or leap into faith, then you're going to have trouble with somebody that is as far out as I, even though I'm not far out as a person. But I don't have a problem with it because I'm not a fundamentalist Christian. I gave up the doctrinal part of Christianity at that point. When I figure, well, if the bishop can just say it in faith, I guess I can, you know, vamp for now in faith and see what happens later, because this comforts me and I mean, I would always be a Christian because I knew Jesus Christ as a very young child, and that doesn't go down well with people who don't believe strange things. But I actively had Jesus Christ as a part of my magic forest that I would sneak into when I was supposed to be taking a nap. And it was wonderful. I mean, he would gaze at me, and I would gaze at him. I would hold his hand and look into his golden eyes. He had beautiful eyes, and I would know what love was. And so you'd never be able to take me away from the side of Jesus the Christ. I love him with all my heart. But all this trappery that's come up around Jesus, the church, the stuff having to do with church, I find it beautiful. And you know, when it's beautiful, does it need to be the actual truth, or is it more that it needs to lead you towards the truth? So that's sort of the way I look at Christianity and the way I look at the raw material. Let this lead me towards the truth. Let me be a better servant of Jesus Christ, which I will never stop serving. So, you know, you start with faith, you drop the dogma, and then a mystical setup like the Law of One universe, where you're spending eons of time evolving and then becoming one with the Creator. It's so different from most. It's not a religion at all, but it's different from any religion or any philosophy, really, in the way it folds back on itself endlessly. And I think one of the reasons it does that is that Don kept asking questions. You know, he'd go into a session, and you know, help me to go under trance, and he'd be all ready, and he'd have his notebook full of questions that he'd carefully worked up from the last session. And then Ra would answer a question in such a way that the scientist part of him just couldn't stand it, and he'd have to go and investigate that. So off we went, you know, down the rabbit hole and into something else interesting. So,
you know, my opinion on this is that somehow people have gotten the idea that if they have a certain belief, they're going to be better people. Or they're going to go to heaven, as if they can believe it in their head, rather than experience something
in their heart.
In their heart.
Yeah.
That is, I think, where religion has gone off track, turning something that should be an experience, that should be something that you can feel inside you, that should be something that makes you more loving and empathetic towards your neighbors, and turned it into a belief. And then they fight over who's got the right belief, or if my belief is better than your belief. My experience with good channeled material, which there's not that much of, but at least yours and mine, is that when you read it, many of us are old souls. We've had lots of lifetimes. And we know things, but we don't know them in our conscious mind. And when you read it, it wakes up something on a deeper level that's familiar and makes sense. And then it starts evolving you. It starts causing you to open up to deeper levels in yourself. It's like cellular memories waking up. You know, Carla, I thought if you don't mind, that particular question about religion and channeled material, if Daphne wants to make a comment on that, because one of her issues when we were first together was how does this reconcile with my Catholic beliefs? And she went through a huge amount of trepidation. She probably still does to some extent. And she doesn't have to answer. But if Daphne, are you there? Hello, Daphne.
Hi, Lynn. Yes, hi, Lynn. I am here.
Would you like to talk?
Hello?
Yeah.
Sure. In answer to the latter part of your question, No, I'm not going through any trepidation now. I think the trepidation I did go through was more the fact that I was experiencing all the negative attacks. Before I had the actual experience with also bringing in the channeled material, I had been exposed to Jane Roberts' material and had read probably thousands of pages of that starting in the mid-'80s or so. And then a lot of others, but primarily Jane Roberts' material. I think similar to the way that Carla describes her experience with Catholicism and Christianity in general, you know, there's a part of me that very, very much needs and feels grounded and somehow completed by an experience of aesthetic beauty. And that I do find in the Christian liturgy, for me especially the Orthodox liturgy. I was raised in the Anglican Church, but I was baptized in the Greek Orthodox Church. And my godfather is Russian Orthodox. And I found, in the time that I had spent as a young child attending the Orthodox liturgies, which are extremely beautiful and reverent, and filled with chanting and incense and architecture, which essentially goes back to the early Christians. It was an extremely grounding and fulfilling kind of thing for me. And eventually, for whatever reason, I had mystical conversion to Catholicism in 1995. So there seems to be some kind of a threading from what I can see, the fact that I was baptized in the Orthodox Church, raised in the Anglican, then married a Jewish man who wasn't practicing, but I had that tie-in, and then I converted to Catholicism. There's been all of these tie-ins. But it's not really a source of conflict for me, in as much as it's been a challenge with the negative attack issues. I just guess I wanted to say that.
Thank you. I think I'll ask a question to Carla about that, because she certainly experienced that when she started doing her raw channeling. But before I go to her, just give Terry an opportunity, because, Terry, weren't you a Sunday school teacher?
Yes. I taught Sunday school from the age of 14 to the age of 18, and I taught the second and third grade, and it was a Presbyterian church. And there were certain things that if I didn't understand something, I would not teach it. So one of the things was the Trinity, and I didn't understand that. So sometimes in the lessons I was supposed to be teaching about it, but I always tried to steer away from it. And it was a few weeks ago that, maybe a couple months ago, that one person asked a question about what is the Trinity, and they answered. And so I'm starting to understand things now that I didn't understand before.
You're understanding them more in an experiential way rather than
Yes. A
belief way. Thank you. You know, a good topic to just ask Carla is, if you study Carla's work and her history, you'll know that when she was bringing through this raw material in 1981, starting, she got very sick. She lost a lot of weight. And they were asking questions about why that was happening to her. And the raw group was answering something like, there was a I don't know if I should bring this up, because if I bring it up, it might invoke it. Carla, can I talk about it?
Well, let me get it straight first. I lost the weight because I didn't know how to exteriorize the energy that puts out a trance channeling. Usually you see a misty cigar smoke-like energy that's out there that is contained. It's an energy force that's containing the source of those words. But I didn't know how to do that. They just had to put me to sleep and sort of knock out a few walls and make do. And so every time I went into trance, when I got out of trance 45 minutes later or so, I would have lost 2 or 3 pounds. And Ross said that was because of my not being able to exteriorize the ectoplasm, that it was interior, and so it was just chewing up my body weight. I had never ate so much in my life as at that time. But the other thing, once I got into doing these sessions regularly, I certainly did have, we can call it greeting. I like to call it a greeting, because if you call it a negative attack or something, it sounds all scary. But it was just that I had somehow been able, this group had somehow been able to make contact with those of Ra, and we were being able to stand very close to the light. And I humbly say that the three of us are okay human beings, but when you stand that close to the light, every distortion that you have stands out. And so negative entities or negatively oriented service-to-self entities will look at what's creating that light. Well, how can we put out that light or distract that light from happening? Well, usually it's a very simple thing. You just drop in those fear-based questions. You just drop in those people that are scared about something or that want to know who's going to win a race or when the world's going to end. And people will get, you know, ego-filled, and they want to answer that question, and they want to be right. And so, you know, they'll venture something of their own mind, you know, and it lowers the energy that's coming through tremendously. So they were just trying to distract me, and if they couldn't distract me, they were perfectly happy if my physical body died. It was kind of a serious attack. It doesn't usually happen. Usually, when you start meditating and stuff, you feel a resistance. And what that is the shadow within yourself, the part of it that you haven't loved yet. So you have to go back in, pick up all those pieces. You didn't love that in childhood. You didn't like that when you were growing up. You know, and bring them back and love them and, you know, comfort them and cherish them and make them part of yourself so that you're a real whole being. You can do that to yourself once you're grown. You don't have to live with those pains of childhood. So I think that it's perfectly okay to talk about what they call psychic greeting or negative attack. There is going to be some cloud to obscure the sun when anybody starts trying to stand closer to the light. It is very rare that it happens like it happened to me. And it was in a way, it was an honor, because I would never have gotten their attention except for the fact that I was connected in a loving way with those of Ra.
The Ra group said they had waited 200 years find someone they could trust to bring this stuff through. Isn't that correct?
You have to find somebody to trust to bring it through, and then to find a support group that they could trust. So you see, it's never me. It's always the three of us, Don and Jim and me, and I being no stronger than the others. It's just that I had the gift of channeling. Don had the most incredible mind I've ever known. Not just wide, but so deep. And his questioning, I think, was unlike anybody else's questioning you've ever seen. He had so much knowledge of the paranormal. He'd studied this stuff since the 50s. You figure this is 81. He's got a whole lifetime, you know, a career time, when his whole interest and avocation was the paranormal and especially UFOs. So, and one, after he got hold of me and we started in partnership, we ended up creating more books and more channeling, and it would have gone on longer except that he died in 1984, and the Rob Group had warned me against trying to get in touch with them unless both Don and Jim were there because of the energy requirements. There's a tremendous amount of love between the three of us, and I think what you have to look at is that you can't earn your way to something like that. The love is sacrificial, and all three of us had sacrificed a lot to be a part of the group. It's sort of against the norm, you know, to have a spiritual family instead of a birth family and a marriage family, and we had broken the tradition there. So we were kind of eccentric, but okay. and then after Don died, I went right on channeling, but it was the conscious channeling. And a lot of people like that better than the raw channeling because it's a little more stretched out. Now, you can study a paragraph of the raw for... a week?
A week, right.
Yeah. And you go on to the next paragraph and you think, am I going to make it to the next page before I die?
Yeah.
Especially in book two when Don says, now let's talk about how the world began. He gets into all these scientific terms and I'm going, oh my God, I'll never understand. But, you know, eventually you get the point. And a lot of it is simple as anything, you know. Love, you know, he puts it right out there. Love the self, you know, accept the self, become the creator. You know, that's the game plan for creating a magical personality.
Yeah.
Real simple.
I got a lot of emails from people that are saying, well, won't they talk to me? Why don't they talk to me? And, you know, I tell people, if you listen to Daphne and Carla, you'd understand the delicacy of bringing in these high sources and the danger of a negative source coming in, mimicking them and confusing you and taking you totally off path and even worse, getting you sick. It takes a huge amount of commitment to service to do this. And a lot of people think, I'd like to channel, I'd like my friends to hear me channel, I'd like to bring in important messages. The most important aspect of this is these sources all have frequencies.
Is it not?
And you don't have to channel them to learn to tune into their frequencies.
That.
Pardon me?
I wasn't hearing you for a minute. Say again.
Did you have something? Did you hear what I said?
No, say again, please.
I said these sources have frequencies. It is possible to feel them without channeling them.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, it's better.
I like a silent meditation better than a channel one any day.
Yeah.
Would you like to spend a little time creating that, Wynn?
A little meditation?
Want to?
We have about not very much time.
Minutes or seconds?
We have maybe 2 minutes.
Okay.
And I wanted to say one thing before we do that, and that is I want everyone to know Carla's website, llresearch.org, llresearch.org, and there's thousands of her channelings, her books, available to be downloaded on her website for free. And you can also buy her books on her website, and that helps support her. And you can buy them on Amazon, and I strongly suggest everyone read at least book one of the raw material. And I wanted to mention that a couple of months ago, we did a thing where we sent angels to everyone that's listening. Now, I don't think we can do that tonight, because this is like a getting to know you session. And to do that, we need to be able to create a more of a group energy. And we did that because we've had the same group of people on our calls for a couple years, so we all got to know each other. Now you're getting to know us. And, you know, in future calls, we can take questions, we can do all kinds of things. But, Paula, why don't you do a little prayer? And I don't usually call them prayers. I call them intentions for the highest good. We'll bring this call to a close.
Feel us all together, sitting on one blanket, breathing one air, feeling the wind, seeing the stars. Quiet. How quiet it is. All of us together, ready to offer to this moment our hopes, our dreams, and our intentions, to love well, to let ourselves be loved, and to seek the highest good with all our hearts in love.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Terry and Daphne, for being here, helping to hold the energy and DBS. And especially thanks to all of you who took your time tonight to listen. And we'll be on Wednesday night with a conference call where people submit questions, and we'll see you then. Have a great